to Thriving with a Chronic Illness. I am your host, Smiling Sonia, and I share ideas, tools, and strategies I've learned living with and recovering from recurrent viral meningitis. I've undergone mindset shifts that have helped me move from just living to striving with a chronic illness. I know what it's like to worry about taking extended sick leave or losing a job through chronic illness. I share how you can become financially stable with the peace of mind that you have enough money saved to prepare for those emergencies and cover future financial goals.
Good morning. Morning. Sonia here. Slight education there. It's Sunday the 14th of March 2021. Today we're up to day 4 of the treasure chest challenge, and it's about selling unwanted and unused clothes and stuff. I'm out in the woods today. As it's Sunday, I have more time. Yesterday, Saturday, I didn't come out for a walk. I go shopping, and I tend to these days, when I go shopping, it's like a day's, it feels like a day's work. So I allow myself to come back and take it easy. Although, for me, taking it easy yesterday was going through some stuff in the loft and doing the getting rid of what can I sell, what do I need to take to the dump. And also working my way through some paperwork, etc. And it felt good because I definitely made a dent. Definitely made a dent. I usually give a bit of an update on my health, etc. I'm feeling all right. I really am. I'm feeling all right. I'm happy. I'm really happy at the moment. I really am. I found a card that I sent to myself. I read it. It's now back on my mantelpiece. So that's what happens. When you're going through stuff, you find stuff. And because I've put so much stuff away so that my home looks like a show home, and now that I have a buyer and I'm hopeful, bringing some stuff out, not too much, just in case things fall through and I have to go through the whole thing again. So I found this card, and it's, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, my organisation sort of funded a group of managers to participate in a mindfulness course. It was 8 weeks, and it was lovely. It was a lovely experience with colleagues, and my first real taste of the benefits of mindfulness. And I've definitely taken on board some of the things that I learned, not everything, but understand the concept. And one of the things that we did, I think it was the last session, we had to write a card to ourselves. And he took them and he said he would post it out to us in like 3 months' time. The funny thing is with these things, you forget. So this card came through the post And we had to address the envelope as well. So this card came to the post, to me. And when I looked at the writing, I thought, oh, that writing looks like my writing. I had no memory of this card, writing this card. So I did feel a bit of an unease. I thought, I don't know. So I opened it cautiously. And it said, to Sonia, and I started reading it. And then I got this, oh wow, yes. I was writing it to me because I was reading it. And it was saying all this nice stuff. Positive stuff. And I got to the end. And I think I felt tearful. I felt tearful. I'd written this to me. But it was really kind of heartfelt. Heart and soul. And so when I found it again yesterday, and I read it, I had to read it twice. And I decided that I'm going to put it in a frame. And because it's handwritten, I'm going to type out what I wrote. I'm going to put it in a frame and I'm going to put it up as a reminder to myself. So I might share it. I think I might share it. So I am feeling happy. I feel good these days anyway, but I am feeling happy. I do have a very lovely person in my life. And I'm feeling happy in spite of it. And I say that over the last week, it's very windy now, over the last week, I've been consuming. Lots of content around racism from a particular professor, Dr. Joy DeGruy, who's written a book about post-traumatic slave syndrome. If you choose to seek out her work, be prepared. What she shares about the history of slavery, and she's done a lot of research, and she has images. It has been traumatizing for me. It has been traumatizing. I've been working through her stuff. And you might do the same thing, actually. When I find somebody and I watch a video, I go and find other videos and I consume that. So that's what I've been doing. It's International Women's Week last week. So I had a poem that was shared in the presentation and I've been consuming content around gender and race, etc. And I also watched a series that was recommended to me called It's a Sin. And I can't tell you, I can't remember the name of the writer. He's written a number of things around gay themes. And it's set in the time when HIV was just coming to the forefront. And I watched this drama, I think it was about 6 episodes. And I got to a point in the drama where I was uncontrollably upset. I could not stop crying. And I realized that one of the reasons I couldn't stop crying was it was the first time in a long time that I was reminded of that period of time in my life. The 80s, like 80s, 90s. When my community, in the gay community, we were completely wrecked by this HIV and AIDS thing. And friends dying. And I realised that I hadn't really thought about that period of time in my life. And it just brought back memories of just friends dying. Of this thing and people's ignorance and how people were being treated. Oh my gosh. But it was also on the fact that during the week I was also consuming all this stuff about slavery and things I just did not know about. And really, look, I'm going to use a strong word here. The real wickedness, I'm going to say evil treatment of my ancestors, my family, because I'm a descendant. And I was crying for them, really crying for them, for their pain and my continued pain. So I say I'm happy in spite of, and I am happy in spite of, that being re-traumatized by events, flashbacks, etc. And I guess on a day-to-day basis, when I do things like I've done today, I've come out for a walk in the woods, and I'm able to do that. I'm able to do that relatively free, relatively free. And I think one of the things that I thought about just now, before I move you into sort of the treasure chest challenge, as I say, was, why am I doing this? Why am I sharing information which is focused really on wealth, on being financially secure, being financially stable? And I'm sharing it because I'm an individual with a chronic illness. And my fear of finding myself in a situation that I cannot kind of look after myself financially and otherwise. My mum had a chronic illness, had to retire early, and did struggle a bit. I mean, I had to support her, but did struggle a bit in the latter life. She had just about enough to live on, but she could, you know, but she wasn't really comfortable financially. I'm a woman with a chronic illness, okay? And although we're, you know, in a world where there's men and women and we should be, are we 50%? I don't know what the exact figure is. But yet, the world is biased towards men. There's a pay gap. There's stuff, isn't there? There's just so much stuff. And we're not necessarily treated as equal. I'm a black woman. So we're talking about intersection. And is it intersectionality? I don't know if that's a word. Weird word. So I'm a black woman. So whatever a woman faces as a black woman, it's a double whammy. We're even more invisible. Even more invisible. If we think about people of colour and we think about black women, I think black women of an African descent, which is what I am, kind of at the lowest of the low. And a black lesbian. Oh my gosh, Sonia. What else are you going to throw in there? Excuse me. What else are you going to throw in there? So, dealing with homophobia, going through life, sometimes having to hide my sexuality, fear of how people might treat me. Able to be more open now, but not always. Not always. Still have to be careful. And so I'm thinking, for me and the sort of areas that I represent, it's really important to be financially stable, and my thing is, and that peace of mind, so that, you know, got all this stuff to deal with, dealing with all this stuff, and if you've got money problems as well, it just makes it doubly as hard. So yeah, that's where I'm coming from, really. So my experience and wanting to, I suppose, just share some stuff that will hopefully help others. And I'm not an expert, okay? I haven't got qualifications in finance or anything like that. The only qualification I have is in Sonia's life and stuff that I've done to make things better for myself. And I can share some of that stuff with you. And I'm going to do that in a moment. So I'm back home, taking my boots off at the door so that I don't get muddy. My son, see, I'm looking after my son, please. Close the door. Okay, so, great talking to you as usual. We're going to go into the next segment. This is just a little temporary fire. And speak to you soon.
Welcome back to the 5-day treasure chest challenge. How to build a 1-month emergency fund fast to support you through your next medical emergency or any other kind of financial emergency. Wow. We're over halfway through the challenge at day 4. Today is all about helping you turn unwanted and unused clothes or items into cash. But before we get started, and I'm sure you know the drill, let's quickly recap what you've learned over the past 3 days. So day 1, you discovered how to find hidden treasure in your home. And I hope that you're making good progress on that. And as I said, don't worry if you haven't completed this task. The important thing is that you do it at your pace. Day 2, I gave you some ideas about how to start getting paid for your loyalty by redeeming reward points from those cards that you've been diligently using when you go to the store, but you forget to actually redeem the points and use the cash. Day 3, you found out that you might be wasting money on subscriptions you no longer want. And really, I just encouraged you to cancel or at least pause them. And of course, your commitment over these 5 days. Watch the daily videos. So this is day 4, only 1 day to go. Share your wins. Keep sharing your wins, no matter how small. Even if it's just in a way of thinking or just something that you've learned. Ask questions. Ask questions of me. Ask questions of each other. And have some fun. Now, I want you to be honest. Do you have any clothes in your wardrobe that you don't wear? Any clothes that you don't wear because they don't fit you or you just don't like them? Okay, have you received any gifts that you didn't like but you kept just because you felt bad about getting rid of them? Are they in the back of a cupboard somewhere? Or in one of those boxes in the spare room, the loft, or the cellar, or under your bed? Well, potentially that is cash that could be used to bolster your emergency fund. When I was 40, I lost a lot of weight and went down to a size 10. Over the next 10 years or so, my weight started to creep up slowly. By 2016, my weight had ballooned to almost a size 24. And as you can see in the picture, I don't look particularly happy. And as I grew out of these clothes, I would shove them in a black bin liner and put them under my bed. I think I was hoping that at some point I'd be able to get back into them. I don't know that I really believed that, but I was hoping. And so can you imagine having all these clothes, several bags of clothes under your bed? It weren't just under my bed. They were in the spare room as well. And they kind of just sat there, sort of waiting. And years. Thankfully, I didn't give up on my health goal. And as I went down a dress size, I would go into these black bags and pull out any clothing that corresponded to the size that I was at the time. Now, one of the things I also did was I went through all the clothing and I put them in bags depending on the size. And so all I needed to do is, as I went down a dress size, I pulled out a bag with the next size down. Now, what I noticed was that in these bags as well, there were clothes that I didn't like. But for some reason, I was keeping them. And when I was much larger, I tended to wear clothes that fitted me rather than clothes that I liked. And so I'm now between a size 10 and 8, or should I say a size 8 and 10. And what I haven't done is kept those clothes, those larger clothes. I've actually got rid of them. So I do not have bags of clothes under my bed of larger sizes. I decided to just get rid of them. So I've just shared an example of how someone may end up having lots of clothes that they do not wear. I also had a spare room a few years back full of boxes of stuff, literally from floor to ceiling. Some of the stuff belonged to my mum, who sadly passed away in 2012. She was a keen crafter. And I say to people that when my mum passed away, QVC must have seen their sales go down significantly. We also had stuff in there from the kitchen. So we had the kitchen redone and a number of items and appliances that could not fit back into the kitchen. they stayed in the boxes. Don't know why. I have since cleared that room and got rid of stuff. Okay. Now, and so because I was looking for ways to reduce my spending, I was also looking for ways to bring in some extra money without having to take another job. You know, I had this chronic illness. In the past, I had taken on extra work, but I wasn't able to. I just didn't have the energy to do that. And, you know, if I needed to go out and even to do anything online that required my attention, I just didn't have the energy to do that and the will also. So selling stuff I no longer wanted seemed the best idea. And I had a load of stuff. I had a lot of stuff that I didn't want. Okay. If it was sort of like 15, 20 years ago, I would have considered a boot sale. I didn't quite have a car that looked like this. And I've done a few boot sales in my time. They can be fun, but they're hard work as well.
okay, you know, getting the stuff together, pricing them, making sure you have your tables, your paint tables, packing the car early in the morning because you want to get a good spot, then taking it all out, putting it out, then you're there all day, well, not necessarily all day, but a few hours anyway, and people coming by. And then at the end of the day, still having what seems like a ton of stuff that you've got to repack in the car and bring home again. Okay, so you may have done that. So I wasn't in a position, of course, to do that. People still, you know, there's still boot sales, but I wasn't in a position to do that, again, due to my illness. The internet and smartphones has made it so easy to sell unwanted and unused items from the comfort of your own home. I think the most well-known at this moment in time is eBay. Many people use eBay to sell stuff. I've done so in the past. I think I stopped many years ago because when I was doing it, you didn't have to pay, but you now have to pay a fee, and I stopped. And it seems quite cumbersome putting stuff on. And also, when somebody wanted an item, it was packing it and going to the post office and posting it off, all that. So I didn't want to have to go through all that. But thanks to smartphone apps, you can easily post a picture with a short description, and you can request the buyer to pick the item up from your home. You can do that with eBay as well, I suspect. So a particular app that I've used, and there's a number out there. So depending on whether it's books, whether it's electronic stuff, whether it's clothes, whatever, I used an app called Shpock when I started doing this, particularly when I was saving up for my emergency fund. And it just was so easy. I literally as I was sorting through my clutter, took a picture, wrote a very short description, posted it, and just left it there. And messages come through. Somebody say they'd pick it up. They gave me the cash. They took it away. It really was as easy as that. And at the moment, I'm getting rid of some books. So I'm using some of the book apps, and you can get with the CDs and DVDs as well. I'm still holding on to some of my CDs. So your task today is to go around your house. Yes, I know you've already been around the house looking for money. You've been around the house, well, your bag, but looking for those loyalty cards. And now I'm asking you to go around your house again. Around the house again to look for those items that you no longer want. Now, if it's clothes, it should be quite easy because they'll be in your wardrobe, won't they? So there'll be clothes in your wardrobe that you definitely don't wear. If, like me, you have some clothes under your bed, then you'll be pulling those bags out or boxes, won't you? And, you know, those gifts, something that's sort of sitting around and you sort of, actually, I don't really like that, you know. What they say, one person's talk or rubbish is another person's treasure, something like that. Anyhow, so look, if you've decided to watch all the videos before taking action, then actually you can do all this in one go, can't you? Anyway, so that's what I want you to do, is to go through the house. So this time you're going to be looking through items in your home that you don't want, don't use, or you don't like. Okay, now this is likely to be an overwhelming task, so I would suggest you either decide to maybe focus on one room first, or focus on one type of item, or you're just going, I'm going to just do clothes, my wardrobe, you know, whatever suits you. You know, this isn't a race. You take this at your own pace, okay? And this is likely to be an ongoing process, isn't it? we're always getting gifts and stuff. So it's likely to be a long process. mean, I've gone through the decluttering process several times because I'll declutter, get rid of stuff, but I'm still holding on to stuff. And a few months will go by and I sort of think, actually, I feel in a position to let go of some more stuff. And so I go through the stuff again and get rid of more stuff. And I'm doing that in stages, and it's made such a difference. It as time goes on, you begin to feel more and more okay about letting things go. So I think there's a psychological thing there as well. Yeah, so I found it easier as I've gone on. And one of the things that I've said to myself, if I haven't used it in the last 10 years, what makes me think that I just may use it sometime in the future? Or I do that, yeah, but what if Joe Bloggs down the road wants it? What if Joe Bloggs down the road wants it, they can go and buy it, can't they? It doesn't have to be stored for free in my home. Okay. In most cases, some things are quite cheap to buy at the time we need it, rather than cluttering our home up with it. Okay, so do some research online to find sites and apps that allow you to sell used stuff locally without having to pay a fee. I think there's a market for almost anything. So let's recap on day four, which is all about turning unwanted and unused clothes or items into cash. So really, you just need to go through your stuff. You may not have much stuff, or you may have tons of stuff, but whatever, you know, take it in small stages. Okay, this isn't a sprint. You know, take it at your own pace, and literally all you need to do is take a picture. Take a picture of it. You know, go on online. Go to your app store. And find any sort of sites that you can sell used secondhand stuff. Post your picture with a brief description. You really don't have to put much in description. See what other people have done. And then add that money to your emergency fund. Okay, add that money to your emergency fund. Yay, day four. So tomorrow is the last day. It's the last day. But anyway, okay, so some more things for you to do today. You take it easy, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Hey, Smiling Sonia here, your host at Thriving with a Chronic Illness. Now be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on the next episode. Now, if you liked what you heard today, be sure to visit my website, smilingsonia.com. to learn more about how I can help you build an emergency fund.